Hello and welcome. We are going to wrap up our course this evening on corporate dissolution. And all good things must come to an end, and sometimes corporations do too. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Remember, last time we spoke about public benefit corporations. Public benefit corporations, also known as public authorities. Remember, the word authority came out of the Port of London Authority because that authority, when they created the statute for it, because remember, all public benefit corporations are chartered by a government, either the federal government or the state governments. That's how they come into existence. They're a corporation that does the work of government. And when the first one was created by Parliament, to renovate the Port of London, it was called the Port of London Corporation. But every other word in the statute that Parliament passed said it shall have the authority to do this and it shall have the authority to do that. So it became known as the Port of London Authority. And ever since then, they've called these entities a public authority. And remember, we talked about that they're incorporated by acts of a government, either a federal or a state government. Most of them are the state government. They do very simple roles. They finance things, they construct things, and they operate them. And they do it for government. The biggest ones that you can think of are the Thruway Authority in New York, the MTA, which runs all the transportation networks in New York City. Their powers are that of a corporation, so they're more nimble than a government agency. And their debt is not the debt of the state of New York. It's the debt of the corporation itself. Kind of a legal fiction there, but at the end of the day, they're interesting entities, and we invite you to look more into them. Tonight, we're going to discuss the dissolution and termination of a corporation. We're going to talk about what happens to the corporate property, because remember, that property is owned by the corporation itself, not by the shareholders, not by the directors, not by anyone who works for the corporation. It's the corporation's property. We're going to talk about distribution of that property and the winding up process. And lastly, we're going to talk about bankruptcy. What is bankruptcy? What the different histories of it? Why do we have it? Article 7, Article 11, and Article 13. It's federal statutes, whereas most of the law we've been talking about regarding the corporate form and business organizations is state law. Bankruptcy is all federal law. It's in the United States Constitution. The founders found it important to put it in the Constitution, and as a result, it's all federal law. And lastly, we're going to do tonight's case, which involves an involuntary bankruptcy in the 1930s during the Great Depression. It's a sad story, but it has a good ending. So why don't we get started? We are sad tonight because, again, we're wrapping up our lectures this evening. But all good things, as we said, must come to an end. And I'm excited to move on to the next chapters with you and to try and help you with your future. Okay, let's jump right in. Corporate dissolution. Why don't we talk about the definitions of that? What does that mean? Dissolution is the termination of a corporation's legal existence by expiration of its charter, by legislative act, by bankruptcy, or by some other means. And it brings about the liquidation and winding up process and ends the corporate existence. There's two types of corporate dissolution. There's a voluntary dissolution where the shareholders and directors get together and decide that they want to end the corporate life. And there's an involuntary dissolution where The corporation is administratively terminated, but either by a court or through bankruptcy or some other type of process, because it didn't pay its creditors or because it is owed money. That is known as involuntary dissolution. That involuntary dissolution is forced upon it. You've seen a number of news reports about the Attorney General of the state going after individual corporations and seeking their dissolution. It's a punishment, it is rare. It is not frequent, because the whole purpose of a corporation is to operate as a business for profit. Generally, the only time you have an involuntary dissolution is where it never made a profit, or where it did something so egregiously bad, committing crimes such as that, that the courts step in and end its existence. Dissolution is the ultimate fundamental change to a corporation, because it results in its termination. Although the dissolution results in the death of the corporation, it does not necessarily mean the death of the business, because it could end up being acquired by another corporation or another business. Because the going concerns have value, the business will usually be sold intact, or at least in part. Dissolution simply redistributes the assets to an outside party, and like a phoenix, it can spring from the ashes and create something new. The terminology that we use in a dissolution involves really two areas. One is winding up, whereby the corporation, after it makes the determination that it is going to dissolve, basically goes through all the steps it has to do to conclude its business, notify creditors, sell its remaining stock, get out of the contracts it's in, take all those measures by which it has to finish its corporate life. Liquidation, on the other hand, is the process of taking all the assets that remain in the corporation after it's paid all its debts, after it's paid all its taxes, then distributing the assets out, usually by that time cash, because if it's a non-cash asset, it gets converted into cash in the winding up process, and then it gets distributed out to the shareholders based on the value of their share. So if you own 1/100th of the corporation, you're going to get 1/100th of the remaining cash that gets converted over from all those remaining assets. What's the process of dissolution? Well, Article 10 of the Business Corporation Law specifies what the process is for dissolution. And typically with voluntary dissolution, it has to be initiated by the boards of directors. The board of directors takes a vote to dissolve. Technically, what it does is it amends its charter to end its life, and that's done by a board of directors resolution. That has to be thereupon approved by the shareholders, and the shareholders have to approve it in order to dissolve the corporation. It is a charter amendment. It's by majority rules, so a majority of the shareholders have to approve it. It's a two-step dance. First, you have to have the board of directors, then you have to have the shareholders, and both of them have to come together. Shareholders get a vote, as we said, and absent some kind of deadlock or something like that, shareholders alone cannot dissolve a corporation. You have to have a vote of the board and then a majority vote of the shareholders. So minority shareholders themselves cannot dissolve the corporation. Now, Obviously, if they want to go the involuntary route, they can petition a court, or they can go to, say, the Attorney General's office, who will petition a court to try and get the corporation dissolved. But that, again, all this is extraordinarily rare. The Article 10 of the Business Corporation Law governs voluntary dissolutions. Article 11 governs involuntary dissolutions by means of a petition to the Supreme Court. Once a dissolution is approved by the board of directors, the corporation may conduct no other business other than to wind up its affairs. So it's not an ongoing concern anymore. All of the business that it conducts has to relate to concluding its life. The process of winding up under the business corporation law seeks to protect creditors, and corporate law protects creditors in a dissolution. In the winding up process, the corporation must pay all of its known debts, all the claims. The corporation also must send notice to all of its creditors for them to submit their claims so that they have it before it totally concludes its business. And under the business corporation law, unknown claims, such as some kind of contingent tort claim, may be brought against the dissolved corporation. And if that is found that they purposely tried to avoid that, the corporate veil can be pierced, as we said. Wage claims, if they're not paid out, can go against the top 10 shareholders under the business corporation law under section 630. So that's the first thing. They also get a priority in payment. So that's the first thing out of the box that gets paid by the winding up process, that they pay those wage claims because they end up going to the shareholders otherwise. Because frequently when a corporation seeks to dissolve, it can be acquired by another business. So in the event that that occurs, there could be what we call successor liability. So if one corporation sees that another corporation is going out of business and they buy all of its assets and they buy all of its business goodwill, they could end up being a successor corporation as a result of that and could end up having successor liability, if any, attached. To shield the directors from liability, the corporation can apply to have the Supreme Court, which again is the lowest level trial court in New York, to oversee the dissolution and determine how much security the corporation should set aside to satisfy claims that are out there. The whole point of winding up is to pay off all the debts so that the remaining amount of assets of the corporation, after all things are paid, after all debts and all claims are satisfied, that the shareholders get the rest. The process, that is the process of liquidation. The purpose of liquidating a corporation is to distribute all the company's assets to those individuals and businesses that have claims, and then to the shareholders. Priority is an important issue when it comes to liquidating claims, because the first in time get the payments first. So if they run out of payments, run out of money to make the payments, those people have already been paid off. So priority is a very important concept. Means that the person that has the right to receive payments can receive them before anybody else. Priority sets out who gets paid and when. Shareholders are on the bottom of that list. Shareholders do not have priority. All other claimants have priority above them, but shareholders are entitled to whatever corporate assets are left over after corporate creditors and liabilities have been paid. So taxes, any other debt that the corporation has to be paid off. Upon liquidation, the corporation no longer exists. It's the last step. So once they do a distribution to creditors, once they do a distribution to the shareholders, the corporation is no longer in existence. Liquidation and winding up are frequently intertwined, but liquidation refers to the process of divesting all the corporate assets, while winding up refers to the process of concluding all corporate business that's remaining. Certain issues that we need to discuss when we talk about dissolution, first and foremost, is most corporations are formed for perpetual existence. Hope springs eternal and people want to go on forever. And as a result of that, most corporations never cease to exist. They go on forever because that's what's in their corporate charter. That's what's in their articles of corporation. As a result, you can have a corporation in its articles of incorporation that dissolves after a fixed period of time, say 30 years. But if it has a perpetual existence, it can go on for a long, long time, centuries even, and thereby long outliving the individuals that created it, its original shareholders. As a result of that, something like a General Electric Company was started in the late 1800s. It still exists today. If it dissolved, you have all the history of that corporation that has to be considered all the way back to the 1890s. And when you look at, something like a Ford Motor Car, again, it's existed for over 100 years making automobiles. So, most corporations choose a perpetual existence because the whole purpose of the corporation is to have that perpetual existence and limited liability. And remember, the reason why the Romans started the corporation in the first place is because they wanted their businesses to last longer than a lifetime of a human being. So dissolution brings that to an end, and dissolution terminates that existence. And the first thing you're going to have to do as a result of that is amend the corporate charter to go from a perpetual existence to being dissolved. The decision to dissolve, to have that corporation's existence terminated, is what happens when you do decide to dissolve. And such a process is where not only is the corporation ended in its legal existence, but all of its assets are distributed both to the creditors and to the shareholders. Why do you dissolve? Businesses terminate for a wide variety of reasons, but when a corporation seeks to end its legal existence, there are specific rules it must follow. Primarily, they generally terminate because the corporation's not making enough money, or you have a situation where that corporation has outlived its useful life. The effect of the dissolution terminates the corporation. It terminates it forever. When the corporation does cease to exist, the corporate charter, its articles of incorporation, and any other documents and materials related to its existence cease to have any legal significance. They go away because of the fact that you have no longer have a corporation there. It's terminated. Dissolution, because particularly if you have a major corporation, it can take some time because you have to get out of all the contracts. You have to be able to pay off all of its liabilities. It can take months, maybe even years, depending on the size of the corporation, to wind things up and to liquidate. So dissolution can take quite a bit of time in many circumstances. The shareholders have to agree to it. It's a two-step dance, as we said before. The board of directors approves it, and the shareholders have to agree to it. In a voluntary dissolution, the shareholders, by a majority vote, agree to do it. In an involuntary dissolution, nobody has to agree because it's being forced upon them. There's a requirement whenever you dissolve that your creditors get notified. Why? Because one of the first steps is you got to pay off all the debts and liabilities of the corporation. If you don't notify those people, they don't know to make the claim. So all of your creditors, basically everybody you do business with, somebody who can make a claim against you. So even if you don't owe the money, you generally have to notify them in case they could make a claim on you. Your creditors get first priority right out of the box. They do have different priorities within that category. As we said, wage claims get paid first right out of the box, but your creditors then all get paid. And once they are paid off, then you have a pile of remaining corporate assets. Usually it's converted over into cash money. Why? Because that way it can be distributed over the shareholders. When dissolution takes place, a corporation ceases to exist. So if you want to have a dissolution, you have to go to the state in which you're incorporated. So it's the state, if you're a domestic corporation, that's New York. If you're not, then you go to the state in which you're incorporated to be able to dissolve. That's it for our first step on that. Next time, we're going to talk about corporate property and what happens to corporate property during a dissolution. We're looking forward to seeing you. Thanks so much.